It's Charlie Wilson. There goes my baby. We, of course, are joined by the good doc, Dr. Portia. We speak about sexual dysfunctions and how it can affect anyone, really. So stay tuned. The good doc is in studio. The good doc is in studio, which I absolutely love. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and I'd like to greet the Rise FM listeners.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about something spicy, but also very informative today.
Yeah,
right? It's sexual dysfunction disorders. Now, for somebody who doesn't really understand what we mean by sexual dysfunction disorders, maybe let's go into that first. What is it?
These are disorders that are pertaining coitus, which is sexual activity.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're having sex. And it's a disorder because it's a continuous feeling or continuous dissatisfaction that you get to have as a person. And it ends up impairing with your functioning, ends up impairing with your relationship, impairs with your self-esteem, also impairs with your mental health, and also how you perceive yourself, this part of your mental health. So it is, we could say those are sexual dysfunction. They may be caused by either medicine or the drugs that you're taking, the treatment that you're taking, side effects of the medication that you take. Some may be caused by high increased stress levels. That's the mental health part of it.
Okay.
Some may be caused by sexual transmitted infections. STIs, STDs do impact on your sexual engagement with your partner. And some may be dysmorphism. Some people are born with certain conditions that may have a problem when they're engaging in sexual activities, of which we'll dwell on further. And also some may be psychological, it's still in the mental, but psychological interest, what interests me sexually may not be what interests my partner, what
right.
satisfies my partner may not be the same thing that satisfies the other partner.
Mm-hmm.
That may be lead to saying that I feel like I'm not functional sexually, then that's why you say it's a dysfunction. And others, as we all, I mean, there are posters everywhere about erectile dysfunction for men.
Yeah.
And we less talk about less libido in females, but then there are things that can, conditions that can make women to have less libido as
mm-hmm.
well. Then those broadly, they cover sexual dysfunction disorders.
You just spoke about low libido.
Yeah.
But I was just talking to Zimkita and, you know, I was saying, I think even extremely high libido is like a huge red flag for me. Like,
yeah,
why do you want to do it every day? Is that a cause for concern?
It is. Too much of anything is not good.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, I like what the urologist and all the men that are supporting prostate awareness, that will say that your man needs to ejaculate at least three times a week.
I mean, yeah.
they should, you know. So those are the things that, you know, one would say, I'm adding more so that I can reduce the risk of having prostate cancer. But actually being hypersexual, it's a concern because
mm-hmm.
remember, any sexual activity is an engagement between two partners. It's not only just about the other one.
You yes, may be hypersexual, yes, of course.
But what about your partner? Are they in keeping with that? Because hypersexuality as well in itself, it's not about the number of days you engaging.
Mm-hmm.
The number of rounds that your partner is also partaking in.
Yeah.
I mean, going for 8 rounds, it's not practical. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's something that is not. This is for married people and people who are having sex.
Yeah.
Consent. Let me just mention that
yes.
as well. And adults, actually, this discussion is for that. I need to put a disclaimer on
yeah.
that as well.
Yeah. All right, Doc, very interesting conversation. Hey, let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms, right, that one would have to look out for, whether in myself or in their partner, that would then indicate that somebody may be suffering from a sexual dysfunction disorder.
As I mentioned that this is a between two partners.
Mm-hmm.
If you're already sexually active and in a relationship, loving relationship, or you know, there's an agreement with your sexual partner.
Yeah.
Then if you start having decreased interest in sexual activity, decreased interest doesn't mean like just one day you don't feel like you want to engage, but goes a month whereby you're not excited, you don't even think about being you know, being active, and this is something that you've been constantly fine with your partner, then that raises concern. Secondly, when you're having, during coitus, I'll just be respectful on that, during coitus, you don't feel satisfied, you don't feel you're part of it, then you start realizing something is off.
Yes.
Thirdly, are you still ejaculating the way you used to?
Yeah.
Are you still getting, aroused, and women, we say they do get wet the way you used to be.
Yeah.
Then those are the things that you need to check. Why are you always dry as a woman? Because there's secretions that should be there, that now you are being sexually aroused.
Yeah.
If there ain't those secretions for a long period of time, then you should start being concerned. My partner tries to start, you know, foreplay and all the exciting things that makes you think about sex, stimulates your brain that you're about to be sexually active, but you're not stimulated. You watch something with your partner that is meant to stimulate the coitus activity, but you're still not getting stimulated. That's a concerning thing that you need to have. As a man, you're not aroused. That is something that you should be. Oh, maybe even if you're aroused, it lasts for just two seconds. That is also concerning. And you go months without being aroused as a man. That is also of concern.
So that 2-minute noodle joke is not funny, guys. It's not a joke. You know, now that you mention some of these things that make women especially very aroused, we don't have, I think, once a woman gets to the right age, enough sexual education.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. You know, for you to even know yourself and know what you like and maybe know what arouses you. Mm. How can we do better when it comes to that?
I think it's time to be open about our bodies. It's time to be open about what makes you happy. An unsatisfied woman, that's why now we start having problems of cheating and infidelities in marriages or relationships, which tends to give negative impact in the terms of relationships.
Yeah.
So it's important that as a woman, you get to understand yourself. You get to understand there's certain common weaknesses that are the same amongst all women.
Mm-hmm.
Kissing of the neck, kissing of certain places in your body, those are areas that naturally should be aroused. So if you realize that you need to read on those things, listen to podcasts, listen to seminars where they talk about sexual activities at the right age, of course, and for the right reasons, of course. And then you realize that why is it that even when someone is touching my boobs, my partner is touching my breast, is touching me in certain areas, I don't get stimulated.
Mm.
Where is the root problem? Is it because I'm not attracted to the person? Because remember, with us women, it's not different from men.
Yeah.
Women, you need to, it's a psychological, it has to be psychological first. I need to, you know, feel my partner first, feel him physically, feel him also, the attraction should be there. I'm talking about normal circumstances, not issues of transactional relationships. I'm talking about a normal sexual relationship here. You need to understand your partner, and the foreplay for us women is the important part.
Yeah.
How you arouse me before we even engage.
Yeah.
That's where it's important. And I need to know myself that when my partner touches my neck, that's when I get stimulated. When my partner goes down on me, that's when I get stimulated.
Yeah.
Those are things that we're not supposed to be afraid to talk about.
Yes.
It's not a sin to know about your own body.
Absolutely.
The sin part will be also religious part of it. But knowing yourself, it's not wrong. It's the right thing that we need to teach our daughters. These are the areas that I don't need a man to touch me because I get stimulated.
Yeah.
And it might lead me to sleeping with the person because now my body is there's an erection in me. That is why now I can control myself, because an erection will need a response, and the response is you being engaging sexually. And it's important to know your weak areas.
Sure. Yeah, very important conversation. I hope the men and women that are listening have been taking down some notes, because the doc is giving us great points today. All right. Is a sexual dysfunction disorder reversible? You know, is it preventable as well?
It is, in some cases, reversible. As I mentioned, some conditions that can lead to people finding themselves having erectile dysfunction or sexual dysfunction or lack of libido as well. For women, some some of the preventative tablets that you take, some people, funny enough, can increase their libido, and some it can weaken your libido. Find that you're preventing yourself from falling pregnant, but at the same time, now you have so much disinterest in engaging in the very same activity, preventing yourself from.
Actually, now that we you're touching on it, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. Wow, we're being very open today. But this is something that did happen to me about a year or two ago. And you can imagine at the time, my partner and I were in a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So it was very difficult. And it was the funniest thing because I was disinterested, Doc. I wanted nothing. Right? And I mean, if you see your partner at the end of the month only, my partner's thinking, woo, like, I'm going to see my girl. We're going to get it done and dirty, you know. But it never happened. And it was so funny because for me, I just thought, what's the big deal? It really isn't a big deal. And it took so much time for it to wash out. So I think on another day, maybe we should talk about contraceptives, you know, the good and the bad that comes with it. But let's park it here for today. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, Doc.
I'm just hoping listeners will now start understanding sexual education. We need to know ourselves. We need to know what makes me happy sexually, especially for us adults who are already, people are married, who have partners who are sexually active. The sex is meant to be enjoyed and enjoyed by two parties. And when there's a problem, seek help. Love is not only just about, you know, only the feeling. It's also covered up by this activity, especially in marriage. So sexual activity, I mean, sexual education is important, that we need to talk about it. We need to teach people and we need to help people, because an unsatisfied man is a very moody, grumpy man. Men need to be satisfied sexually, and also women. It's not only about one party.
It's about both,
it's about
parties.
Both of us. We both need to have orgasms, not only one people. Disclaimer, mostly married people and convicted people, not children.
Yes, this conversation is not for a child. It's only for old people, and we hope that we got you guys in the mood to try some new things tonight. I don't know. Doc, thank you so much.
Sure.